Tom Withers covers the Browns for the Associated Press. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Tom, the team back into OTA practices today, and then there are practices tomorrow and Thursday. Let's talk, first of all, about the safety position. Interesting competition going on there. The announcement today that Eric Hag has been waived tells us probably that the Browns feel Jamoris Slaughter, one of their draft choices, who's coming back from an Achilles injury, sixth-round pick from Notre Dame, is going to probably get back and on the field on schedule, at least in terms of a recovery from a long-term injury. But he did suffer it early in the season last year, so that's encouraging for them. And right now, Tayshawn Gibson, undrafted free agent last year, is lining up next to T.J. Ward, so they must feel good about what they see.
Yeah, I agree with you, Vic. I feel bad for Eric Hag. You know, nice guy, had some injury problems. I thought there was some promise for him at one point. Just didn't work out, and, you know, hopefully he can catch on somewhere else. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think it says a lot that, Ray Horton must see something in that position, that he's got a little bit of depth there. I thought the move of Johnson Bademosi from cornerback over to safety was kind of interesting. It would definitely caught everybody's eye last week during the one day we were out there for a media session. Nice football player. You know, he's a kid that obviously has a nose for the ball, obviously fearless. You know, he played incredibly well in special teams next year, and I'm sure that's going to be his primary role this year. But, interesting to see him then in kind of a backup role. And then to me last week, also, Vic, you know, seeing T.J. Ward being used maybe a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage than we've seen him in the past, and I think that, you know, falls into what Ray Horton has told us since day one since he got here, that this is going to be an attacking defense that's going to take some chances and really force the issue.
Yeah, the safety is a big part of this attack approach, Tom, and you can see it on the practice field. Again, no contact going on, but you can see where he lines up, and you can see how many times he's asked to go after the quarterback. You know, this is something that, number one, is a big component of what that Steeler 3-4 has been
absolutely
all about with Dick LeBeau, right? Troy Polamalu. Think Troy Polamalu.
Absolutely.
And you can see that, and you can also see how much TJ is embracing it. And physically, this is a good fit for him, too.
Boy, this is what he wants to do, and you took the words right out of my mouth. This is exactly what the Steelers have done with Polamalu over the last couple of years, is creep him up to the line of scrimmage, make sure that quarterback is aware of where that safety's at, and, you know, good things are going to happen. This is going to be a defense that is going to go after the quarterback, that is not going to be afraid to take a couple risks here and there. And to your point about TJ, I think you're right on the money. I think TJ is, you know, he's that heat-seeking missile out there who wants to hit anything and anybody that's in his way and go after the ball carrier when he can. And, he might not be the best coverage guy, but that's not what you're counting on him for. You're counting on him to be that guy to come up and stick his nose in the hole when he needs to and make some plays.
Yeah, and back to the point of competition at that other safety spot. Mm-hmm. So I think Tayshawn Gibson, based on what he showed last year, makes himself a very viable candidate. And I think the fact that this coaching staff, that Ray Horton, and you go right down the line, Louis Cioffi, the defensive backs coach, and, of course, obviously the head coach, Rob Jedzinski, seeing something that the previous coaching staff, Pat Shurmur, saw too, that to bring a guy like that as an undrafted player who got some prominent time last year and certainly was around the ball, showed good instincts, to trust to put him back into it this year says a lot about Gibson.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, Vic, and they always use that expression, guys who flash out there. And I know even during some of the short times that we were out there as a media contingent watching practice, you know, the kid was making plays. And then you'd think to yourself, well, maybe he ought to be on the field this week. So there'd be weeks that would come and go where we would expect him to be active, and his role grew a little bit. They had a couple, you know, nicks and injuries here and there that got him a little bit extra time. But, yeah, I think he's a kid that showed a lot of promise.
And another guy, and again, we've talked about the conversion from cornerback mm-hmm. to safety for Johnson Bademosi. I think this is a really good move and gives this guy a chance, number one, to probably have a longer NFL career than he might have as a corner. I think that the fact is that as a corner, he probably wasn't a really good fit. And frankly, what he did last year was mostly show up as a special teams player and one of the better ones really in the league. He emerged.
He was terrific, wasn't he? And a good
they loved
kid
him
too.
Yeah,
and he was a
kid
that I really felt like, you know, nationally, I didn't really get a chance to write much of a story about him, but he's got an interesting story, you know, and he played on the national rugby team as a junior, and he's really kind of, you know, earned his way up, you know, through the ranks here. You know, went to Stanford, very bright kid. So I'm real happy for him. You know, good for him.
Yeah, I think just seeing him in the mix, we'll see what Slaughter is all about. I do think overall that when you really size it up, the safety position might not be in such bad shape. I think there was a lot of concern, you know, before the draft. Are the Browns going to – how are they going to address this? And did they sufficiently address it with Slaughter? But I think Slaughter could be okay.
Yeah, they definitely did address it. And like you said earlier, I think this is good news in that Achilles injury. And he is, you know, pretty far removed from that now, is obviously healing at a satisfactory level to the Browns and to their doctors. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see him on the field probably sooner than later.
Yeah, and another thing about Slaughter, too, is one of the early signings of the Browns draft pick. So getting him under contract, I think, also helps the process along. And looking at when you talk about other moves that this team has made, Brandon Jackson coming back to this team,
yeah.
Right? And now sizing up the position at running back, Tom,
mm-hmm.
when we try to figure out how this team is going to configure its backfield, and people have asked this question repeatedly, and I'm sure of you as well, fullback, 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 where's the fullback? And it just seems like the comfort level is you take a Chris Obanaya and you take a Brandon Jackson and you have guys like that that can do multiple things, not just run the ball, but also
right.
be effective when it comes to blocking, picking up the blitz, and catching the football.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before. I mean, I think people still get hung up in the, you know, the traditional sense of what a fullback is supposed to mean on an NFL team, and that's, you know, the burly guy who's lined up in front of the tailback, who's going to lead the runner into the hole, and that's just not the way it works anymore in the new NFL. So you've got, you know, more versatile type players who also can, you know, can carry the ball inside the tackles when you need them to, but also guys who can get out on the edge, get into some mismatch situations, and make some things happen.
Yeah, and I think that's really the key to how this backfield will look. And it probably, again, most important of all is blitz pickup. You've got to protect that quarterback.
And yeah,
Trent, I hope that Trent Richardson moves forward in that department, but you don't. You got to trust it to guys who you know can do it.
That's just what I was going to say, Vic. That was something he really struggled with last year, and it's something that, you know, he struggled with at times at Alabama. There was no secret about that. So, and it's a very different kind of beast, if you will, in the NFL. So you hope that he's going to get better at it. And, we saw last year that Obanaya is just terrific at that. And I'm glad to see Brandon Jackson back. I was a little perplexed at times as to why he really was basically, you know, I don't know if he got in the doghouse or whatever had happened. But then he showed a nice little burst, and obviously he had some fresh legs in that season finale against Pittsburgh, but I'm glad to see him back because I think he can be a versatile player for them.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press covers the Browns, joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tom, of course, there would be no conversation that we have on this show, that I have with almost anybody on this show, would it be complete without some reference to the quarterback situation. And the latest, of course, is how the Browns have, I guess, at least seemingly ramped up the competition for Brandon Whedon, adding
right.
Brian Hoyer to the roster now, in addition to having Jason Campbell there, in addition to having Thad Lewis there. So it's four quarterbacks. It's a battle that's going to go on. I don't know, you know, how intense this will become, but just
right.
the mere fact that this move was made, the Hoyer addition was made now, the timing of it
yeah.
is at least curious.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't really read that too much into it. I just feel like, you know, this coaching staff, you know, has learned its lessons through the year, and that is that you cannot have enough quality guys there. And, hey, we saw it last year. I mean, the Browns were reduced to using their third stringer, and the year before that, the third stringer ended up starting the most games for the team. So, yeah, I think, you know, the Hoyer addition is a quality player who's had, his fair share of NFL snaps. He's more than a serviceable backup. He comes in. He's now going to make, you know, Whedon and Campbell work that much harder. But as you and I have talked about before, Vic, I still think it's about Brandon Whedon. It's about his development. It's about him gaining the trust of this coaching staff. And from what I understand, he's doing everything on point to this point and showing them that not only does he want to be the guy this next year, that he is going to be the guy this next year.
Yeah, I would go along with that. And I think if these are tests, and I'm not sure that they're necessarily specifically designed to
mm-hmm.
be things that mess with his head, because I don't know that that's really the way you want to coach. You want to
right.
you want to challenge, and you want to push guys. But I would say this. This is part of the development too. If he can withstand, as he more than definitely should be able to do this as an older guy, this mm-hmm. is where being nearly 30, this is where having been in professional baseball should show itself in his personality that, hey, I'm a pro, and pros don't get flustered over this kind of thing.
Well, exactly right, particularly at that position. You know, you have to have, you know, nerves of steel and the cannon arm and all the attributes that go along with being a star quarterback in this league. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just this coaching staff's way of, you know, just intensifying the fire under him a little bit. You know, let's, Brandon Weeden, let's see what you got. You know, are you our guy? And if you are, show us you're the guy. And I really think the way Brandon has handled all of this over the offseason has been, you know, very mature, number one. You know, there was talk last year that he might not have been the hardest worker. Now, I'm not saying that. That got thrown out there, you know, in various places. But from what I understand, he's been, you know, studying the playbook in the classroom, doing everything he can to show them that he can be the starting quarterback on this team for this year and several years going forward. So I thought he said all the right things last week. I thought he looked better on the field. He didn't have a great day throwing the day we were out there to see them. And from what I understand, and not only talking to Brandon, but in talking to some other people, including some players, said he was really winging it the first 2 days out there. And, you know, he looks quicker. And Vic, you know, we haven't talked about this yet, but, boy, that tempo that they're practicing with right now is you better be on your toes when you get out there because things are moving quickly.
There's no doubt, and I saw more evidence of that today. I think it's actually increasing, and I think when everyone gets out from a media standpoint on Thursday and looks at that practice compared to what we saw mm-hmm. a week earlier, I think it will be noticeable because there's more that's been downloaded by now by these players. There's been more installation and more understanding, and I think it stands to reason that they were getting early kind of tastes of things last week. It was really the first few phases of offensive install. Now you get to this week, and I think it's going to be more progressive and deeper, and by the nature of it all, it should move quicker on the field.
It should be, and it sounds like I better lace up my sneakers a little bit tighter and be ready for Thursday then.
You might want to do that. Hey, Tom, I appreciate it.
Vic, nice talking to you.
He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have got so much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.